We've been hearing about presidential candidates and the lessons learned from their first campaigns. We turn now to John McCain. In a sense, he has had two first campaigns. He first ran for the White House in 2000 when he made himself accessible to voters and reporters through his Straight Talk Express. But McCain's devotion to retail politics began long before 2000, going back to his first run for Congress. NPR national political correspondent Mara Lyson reports.
Even before John McCain ran for an open House seat in Arizona in 1982, he was considered a national hero. His story of courage and sacrifice as a POW in Vietnam was dramatic. Imprisoned and tortured in Hanoi, he refused to be let out ahead of those who'd been in longer. Still, he was brand new to Arizona and had to introduce himself to the voters of the 1st District.
Born to a long Navy tradition, McCain served for 22 years. He learned the ropes of federal government as Navy liaison to the U.S. Senate. But it was his service in Vietnam as a decorated fighter pilot who spent 6 years as a POW that showed what John McCain is made of.
Back in 1982, Bruce Merrill was McCain's pollster.
I really don't think he's changed much in the last 20-some years. I think the things that I saw then I see now. Incredible determination, just a bulldog. He just goes for it, and it's very hard to divert him, and he's really driven. He has an incredible level of energy. He's going when his aides and the people around him have stopped going. I personally saw that.
McCain beat three better-known primary opponents and then, in a heavily Republican district, went on to easily win the general election. In an interview last week, McCain says he's never forgotten the lesson of that first campaign.
I really still believe to this day the reason why I won was because I knocked on literally a couple of thousand doors in the hot sun of Arizona, since we have a September primary. And to this day, I still run into people who say, I'll never forget the day you came and knocked on my door, which I think the moral of the story is there's still a place for retail politics in America, and that's really how I have always had my most success.
18 years later, and by then a U.S. senator, John McCain mounted another retail campaign, this time for president. He had already established himself as a maverick by pushing for campaign finance reform. Never a member of the club, only four of his fellow Republican senators endorsed his first White House bid.
Yeah, all the establishment is against me, and I'm proud of it. And I'll tell you what, if you want business as usual in Washington, if you want business as usual, you don't want me as your president. With a very nice man.
McCain reveled in his role as an outsider and a rebel. He was having a lot of fun, and so was everyone around him.
Few things are as fun or as kind of as romantic in politics as a desperate come-from-behind kind of long-shot campaign, and we were definitely that.
Mike Murphy was McCain's strategist in 2000, driving around New Hampshire in the Straight Talk Express bus. McCain's style was to be as transparent as possible, holding endless town hall meetings long before that became the standard format, and unlimited access for the press.
Most campaigns were about controlling media access to the candidate, not the other way around. There was a rolling 5-hour press conference every day. And like most handlers, I saw this, I thought, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. He's going to make a gaffe. It's going to all implode. It's horrible. And I used to joke, I felt like I was the road manager for Carol Walenda.
But McCain's flying trapeze act worked. He went from the very low single digits to beating George W. Bush by a stunning 19 points in New Hampshire. He says he learned an important lesson. Whenever he's done something for political gain, it never works out. Once in the 2000 primary in South Carolina, McCain backed away from his opposition to the Confederate flag in order, he admitted, to court conservative voters. He later repudiated that stance, but he's regretted it ever since.
And I hope I learned the importance of, again, doing what's right, because when I took the wrong position on the Confederate flag in South Carolina, I paid a penalty for that, and I should have.
McCain eventually lost the nomination to Bush's superior, better-funded organization. This time around, when McCain began his second White House bid, he tried to learn from that defeat, hiring a lot of the old Bush hands and positioning himself as the front-runner. But that didn't work either. McCain had taken too many positions, in particular on immigration, that were at odds with his party's base. His fundraising and poll numbers collapsed, and in June he was forced to lay off most of his staff. Now he's starting again, with a campaign wrapped around his long-standing position that more troops are needed in Iraq. He's just completed what he calls the No Surrender Tour. Here he is earlier this month in Rochester, New Hampshire.
And these are tough and difficult times, and it's easy for those of us who don't have to go again to order them into battle, but it's also up to us to do our best to do what we think is right, even if there's great political cost associated with it.
Although it's out of necessity, not choice, McCain is the underdog again. He's down to a bare metal campaign, and says Mike Murphy, who's sitting out this year's campaign, it looks a lot like the one McCain ran the first time.
He's a better candidate now than when he was, in theory, the big front runner 6 months ago. But he is back to being the real McCain, so he's liberated to be himself. He's got, you know, all the usual metrics we measure, how many millions you have in the bank, how many yes men you have on cell phones following you around, all that's gone. And what he's got now is just him and a microphone and a message. So it's a freeing thing. Will it be enough as we need advertising and some of the other tools of campaigning that cost money? I don't know.
Lots of McCain supporters say he seems happier leading a crusade than a traditional presidential campaign, and McCain doesn't completely disagree.
You know, I probably should say, no, I'd rather be in the lead, and I really would rather be in the lead, but in my life, I've always kind of been the underdog, you know. I don't know why exactly, but I've always kind of been the guy that, you know, wants to stand up to who I think is a bully, either real or imagined. I've always been the guy that has taken sometimes a contrarian view or attitude.
Few modern politicians operate by the code of honor that drives McCain. As he says over and over again, he'd rather lose a campaign than a war. Mike Murphy.
That's McCain's great strength and his great weakness, is McCain is never really interested in campaigning on anything that'll help him get elected. He's interested in telling the truth and what he believes, and he kind of figures that'll work out for him in the end.
In his book, Faith of Our Fathers, McCain writes that nothing in life is more liberating than to fight for a cause larger than yourself. And now, in the second version of his second run for president, McCain is doing just that, fighting to give the surge in Iraq a chance to succeed. Many Republicans think that in the end, he may be more successful at shoring up support for the war than winning the nomination. If that's the case, McCain probably wouldn't have it any other way. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.